for them to end the occupation the way people did in the 80s successfully against the South African apartheid regime. That's called anti-Semitism. When Palestinians nonviolently protest at the border, they're accused of being agents of Hamas who deserve to be slaughtered. The discourse of the West is that Palestinians have no right to resist or protest this decades-long occupation. They don't have a right to do so violently, and they have no right to do so nonviolently. The only thing Western discourse tells Palestinians they're permitted to do is to meekly acquiesce and submit to and obey the dictates of the Israeli government. And I think the world is finally starting to wake up to the fact that this discourse is incredibly immoral, and that Palestinians have just the same right as everybody else to protest and resist.
Glenn Greenwald, we thank you so much for being with us. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, one of the founding editors of The Intercept. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Portland. This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the League of Women Voters of Portland. Presenting a candidate forum tomorrow, Tuesday, April 10th, beginning at 6 p.m., for candidates running in contested races for Metro President and in Multnomah County for Auditor and Chair and Commissioner District 2 at the Multnomah County Boardroom, 501 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. A second forum for Portland Commissioner Positions 2 and 3 and Metro Councilor Districts 2 and 4 will be held on Tuesday, April 24th, beginning at 6 p.m., also at the Multnomah County Boardroom. More voter information at www.lwvpdx.org. After these short messages, we will get to Sojourner Truth. It is 8:01. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 21st from 5:30 to midnight at the North Portland Eagles Lodge in Portland. For the past 7 years, the Inner City Blues Festival has focused on healing the healthcare blues, supporting Oregon's universal healthcare movement. Performers this year include the Norman Sylvester Review with Sarah Billings and Leanne Miller, the King Louis Payne Quartet and LaRonda Steele, and many, many more. Again, that's the Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 21st from 5:30 to midnight at the North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter Avenue at Lombard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, a one-hour special on the life and legacy of Winnie Madikizela Mandela. She was, for 38 years, the wife of the late political prisoner, president of South Africa, and global icon Nelson Mandela. Winnie Mandela was a political person in her own right. She was pivotal in bringing global attention to the plight of her then-husband. Winnie Mandela, known by many in South Africa as the mother of the nation, passed away on April 2, 2018, and today we examine her work, her strengths, and the torture and other injustices that she faced, the contradictions within the movement. Our guests are Pastor Calvin Sauls, senior pastor of Holman United Methodist Church, who was born and raised in South Africa, and Amira Wood, a U.S. foreign policy expert with a special emphasis on Africa. She's also a member of the International Working Group of Africans Rising. She hails from Liberia. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari. A Gaza health official says three Palestinians have been killed by Israeli fire and 40 people injured so far, five of them critically, in protests near the border fence. Palestinian protesters burned tires, sending black smoke billowing into the air in an attempt to obscure the view of Israeli snipers. Today's death brought to 24 the number of Palestinians killed by Israeli soldiers in Gaza in the last week. Civil society groups organizing the protests say they're meant to be nonviolent and to press the demand for the right of Palestinian refugees and their descendants to return to the homes they were forced to flee 70 years ago when the State of Israel was created. Ahead of today's protests, the United Nations Human Rights Office said Israel used excessive force during its deadly response to Gaza protesters last week. China today vowed to fight the U.S. at any cost after Donald Trump proposed slapping an additional $100 billion in tariffs on Chinese goods in an escalating trade dispute between the world's two largest economies. In Beijing, a spokesperson for the Commerce Ministry said China doesn't want a trade war but isn't afraid to fight one. Al Jazeera broadcast the remarks.
If they insist on unilateralism and trade protectionism against the wishes of China and the international community, we will fight to the death at any cost. We will resolutely fight back and take new measures and protect the interests of our country and the people.
Trump's surprise move to instruct the U.S. Trade Representative to consider $100 billion more in additional tariffs came a day after China announced plans to tax $50 billion in U.S. products. That was a response to the U.S. move earlier this week to slap tariffs on $50 billion of Chinese imports. Donald Trump went on an unscripted tirade about immigrants, rapists, sanctuary cities, and voter fraud at what had been billed as a roundtable on tax reform in West Virginia. Early in the event, he threw a paper with his prepared remarks into the air, calling them boring and let loose. He called again for a border wall, referred to Mexicans as rapists, and repeated his false claim that millions of people voted illegally in the 2016 presidential race.
In many places, like California, the same person votes many times. You probably heard about that. They always like to say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Not a conspiracy theory, folks. Millions and millions of people. And it's very hard because the state guards their records. They don't want to see it.
Newly discovered internal company documents show that oil giant Shell knew about the dangers of climate change caused by fossil fuels at least as long ago as the 1980s. The company's own scientists warned about the peril in a 1988 report based on earlier studies. Mae Bove, the director of the climate justice group 350.org, said in a statement, just like Exxon, Shell knew about the dangers of climate change and instead chose to embark on a decades-long campaign of deception. Former Catalan President Carles Puigdemont walked free from a German prison after posting nearly $100,000 bail. Spain is seeking his extradition for rebellion and misuse of public funds in organizing a referendum last year on Catalonia's independence from Spain. But a German court rejected the Spanish charge of rebellion, saying he doesn't meet the criteria for prosecution under an equivalent German law. Following his release, Puigdemont called on Spanish authorities to open a dialogue with Catalan politicians. He also called for the immediate release of other Catalan separatist leaders imprisoned in Spain.
The time for dialogue has arrived. We are demanding that dialogue from the last years, and we only received a violent and repressive response. Now, seeing the fall of that response, it's time to do politics.
Puigdemont could still be extradited from Germany to Spain on a separate count of misuse of public funds. The court asked for more information on that charge. Former South Korean President Park Geun-hye was formally convicted of an array of corruption charges and sentenced to 24 years in prison. Park didn't attend today's court session, saying she was ill. She's been boycotting court proceedings since last October. She was convicted of bribery, extortion, abuse of power, and other charges. She claims the charges are political. I'm Eileen Alfandari. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
Those were our news headlines. And today, a look at the life and legacy of Winnie Madikizela Mandela. She passed away on April 2nd, 2018, at the age of 81. During this hour, we will discuss the mother of the nation, her contributions to South Africa, the African diaspora, and indeed the world. Our first guest to help us discuss Winnie Mandela is Pastor Kelvin Souls, senior pastor at Holman United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. The Reverend Kelvin Souls was born and raised in Johannesburg, South Africa. In his years of ordained ministry, he has served both local churches and general agencies in the United Methodist Church. Prior to his appointment to Holman United Methodist Church, he served as executive director for new ministries in the CalPAC Conference, assistant secretary general for congregational development and racial ethnic ministries at the General Board of Global Ministries in New York, New York, and director for congregational transformation at the General Board of Discipleship in Nashville, Tennessee. Let us go now to our conversation with Reverend Kelvin Souls. And we caught up with him at the airport. He was on his way to Haiti. Let's go to that conversation with him right now. Pastor Souls, welcome.
Thank you so much, Margaret. What a joy it is to be with you on such a sad yet momentous occasion, given who Winnie Mandela was.
Yeah, and Pastor Souls, coming up in the movement, you lived through very well that movement. You understand the strengths, the weaknesses, all of the contradictions involved in it. And whatever one might say about Winnie Mandela, she still is viewed by the vast majority of the people as the mother of the nation. Give us your thoughts on her passing and on her significance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you try to challenge, you know, evil systems such as apartheid, one does not look necessarily for perfection, but you look for a person that is purpose-driven to facilitate the liberation of their people. And that's who Winnie was. I mean, you know, she started off as a social worker, you know, and basically her mission found her, the movement found her, and she signed on for life. And so Winnie will always be, you know, the mother of the nation, because, you know, at the low tide of that movement, she became the face and the voice for us as young people, because, you know, in so many ways, we saw a lot of trends towards accommodation of apartheid instead of liberation from apartheid. We saw a lot of trends around assimilation, you know, with apartheid instead of liberation from apartheid. And she, you know, really became the voice for so many of us, continuing to give us hope that one day we will be able to topple this evil system, and not just set blacks free, but to set whites free, because in the end, for us, it was about a free and liberated South Africa for all. So when one looks at the life of Winnie Mandela, one does not look for perfection. Instead, one looks for purpose, for power, and one looks for a person who was able to acquire and utilize a platform, you know, to free her people. And so she will forever be the mother of South Africa.
Yeah, and you know, just yesterday I spoke with Congresswoman Maxine Waters on the show, and she was giving us her thoughts on Winnie Mandela and remembering the time that she spent with Winnie Mandela as well as her then husband Nelson Mandela when they visited Los Angeles following his release from prison, and she made it clear that she says, I understand, you know, all of the contradictions and you know that happens when you are in this kind of movement, and she thought that it was really a shame that some of the media outlets, even in her death, I mentioned one headline I saw of her that says, even in death, Mom Winnie can't catch a break, where the New York Times is talking about her triumph over apartheid was overshadowed by scandal, of Reuters referring to her as tainted, you know, et cetera. So you have that kind of language happening. So your thoughts about not looking for perfection, given all of what we were up against, very, very well put. And also, Pastor Kelvin Sauls, you really grew up, was formed in that movement. And Winnie Mandela, people forget that she also went to prison. And she was arrested so many times, but she was also beaten and tortured and snatched from her children. And, you know, in the middle of the night, I mean, all of this has an impact on people, Pastor Sauls.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, she was traumatized in so many ways. If she wasn't taken to prison, she was imprisoned in her home under house arrest. I mean, the South African regime was afraid of Winnie Mandela, and so she was a force to be reckoned with. She was one who, as the saying goes in South Africa, when you strike a woman, you struck a rock. You know, and so once, you know, Winnie, you know, grew into the role that was chosen for her, she did not choose this role. You know, the role that was chosen for her, you know, she did the best she could. I mean, I was in South Africa when the controversy around Stompy and the Mandela Football Club, and in fact, you know, the Methodist Church was part of it. You know, a controversy because the then bishop, you know, of the Methodist Church was all caught up in that because of the liberative ministry that the Methodist Church was doing with young people, and so one cannot, you know, cast, you know, a contradiction as a fault on Winnie Mandela because we all grew up in a system filled with contradictions. A system filled with discrimination, a system filled with dehumanization. And so I think, you know, the Western media, who for a long time has aligned itself with the apartheid regime from the U.S. to the United Kingdom, you know, to all over Europe, right now I say to them, shame on you. Because during those times of contradiction, you chose to side with oppression. You chose to side with the evil of apartheid. So right now, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the Western media should shut up and put up because we will not allow them to interpret our hero the way they want to interpret it. So I say to Reuters, I say to the New York Times, and whoever is bringing, you know, all of these, you know, clouds around, you know, our Queen Mother and Liberator and Warrior Winnie Mandela, shame on you. Shut up. Put up. History will one day vindicate who she was. In fact, we don't have to wait for history. We as South Africans who've been part of the liberation movement, we will vindicate her because we know who she was. We know her heart. We understood the trauma she went through, the banishment she went through, the pain, what her family went through, and all of that. And so we will live life, you know, in the spirit of Winnie, utilizing her life to see how we can continue, you know, to evaluate how we struggle against oppression in the future, how we fight vestiges and leftover systems of apartheid, not just in South Africa, but around the world. Her life will provide us with an opportunity for evaluation and elevation as we continue to organize and mobilize for a just and free South Africa, and indeed a just and free world.
Right. And Pastor Kelvin Assol, senior pastor at Holman United Methodist Church based in Southern California in Los Angeles, and historic church. It's a church where Martin Luther King appeared, spoke when he was in Southern California. But Pastor Assol's, one of the things that Congresswoman Maxine Waters said, she said she doesn't know how, without the work of Winnie Mandela, how much the international movement of the apartheid, anti-apartheid movement would have taken place. She really,
absolutely.
Yeah. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is not just a loss for South Africa. This is a loss for the entire world. I mean, Ward AME Church, under the leadership of the Reverend Dr. Frank Madison Reed, founded a Winnie Mandela Women's Ministry in Los Angeles. And so women came together to organize and mobilize, you know, themselves, you know, around, you know, who she was and the cause that she stood for and the character that she had. So you're right. I mean, she became the global voice. She became the global face. You know, all this woman that had an indomitable spirit, standing firm and standing strong, you know, against evil and against really a system that was that designed itself to take men like me out, okay, yeah. You know, around it. So you're right, this is a global loss, and it should be viewed as that. Winnie, as I said in my messages to my nephews and nieces and my peers back home, you know, she will forever live in our spirits. She will forever be a part of our country. We would want to see how an evaluation and celebration of her life lead us to elevation as we, you know, recommit ourselves and reset ourselves and relaunch ourselves to fight any manifestation of apartheid, from South Los Angeles to Haiti to Cuba to Nigeria to South Africa to Zimbabwe to New York, Chicago, wherever there is any, you know, inclination, you know, we stand ready to see how we to reposition ourselves on behalf of our hero, Mother Winnie Mandela.
Right, and finally, we know that you are so kind to join us. You are at the airport, ready to board a flight. But just in terms of, you know, people see her as this strong, fierce woman, and we know that she had a soft side. I mean, she was a mom of two young children when her husband went to prison, and she was quite younger than him. And I'm looking at a quote from her where she said, "I had so little time to love him, and that love has survived all these years of separation. Perhaps if I'd had time to know him better, I might have found a lot of faults, but I only had time to love him and long for him all the time," referring to Nelson Mandela. And Nelson Mandela himself, around the time of his divorce, I'm sure, you know, his new wife, now his widow, he also loved, but he also made it clear that he still had a soft spot for Winnie, that he still loved her despite everything that he had heard about her and knew about the contradictions happening. So there was this bond, it seemed, that remained. Just a final word, Pastor Kelvin Souls.
Yeah, Winnie Mandela was a woman. She was a wife. She was a mother. And so, yes, she did have a soft side. So one can never take that away from her. And if anybody would want to challenge or amplify the mistakes that she's made, it's because she was. You know, the challenge we have many ways, especially when it comes to black heroes and sheroes, you know, we try to lift them up, you know, to be these perfect human beings, and they're not. It's strange to me that we never do that with heroes and sheroes from other you know, ethnicities, especially, white Jews. I mean, they are fine to make mistakes, you know, because that's just, you know, things just happen. But with us, all of a sudden, we want to take folk down, you know, because, you know, they act out of their sense of humanity, out of their sense of vulnerability, you know, around us. So you're absolutely right. I mean, this week, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the assassination of King. He was a human being, you know, who chose to say yes to a higher calling. You know, he was not perfect, but as I said before, he was purpose-driven, and he was able to facilitate a purpose that that changed the entire world, and that's winning. And so I'm on my way to Haiti, you know, with a delegation from South LA, you know, a humanitarian, you know, group, you know, and we're going there to, again, see how we can further in the work of justice and equality, you know, our foster sister brothers in Haiti, you know, because we are all inextricably connected. You know, this is what Ubuntu is all about. This is what mutuality is all about. And in her humanity, in her mistakes, we can still find hope out of her life. And I guarantee you, in her living and in her transition, you know, there are many Winnie Mandelas, you know, standing ready to take her place to facilitate, you know, a more just and fair world, and to continue to realize what Dr. King called, and I reframe, the beloved world house that we all deserve. So again, you know, long live Winnie Mandela, Amanda Awetu Maibuye, the Africa. Let's celebrate her, let's evaluate her, but most of all, allow her life to elevate us into a new sense of commitment to what it is that we are called to do and we are called to be.
Well, beautifully said. On that note, we are going to have to leave it there. And as you have to board your flight, Pastor Kelvin Sauls, a quote from Winnie Mandela, she said, "I no longer have the emotion of fear. There is no longer anything I can fear. There is nothing the government has not done to me. There isn't any pain I haven't known." Winnie Mandela, Pastor Kelvin Sauls, thank you.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
All righty. I caught Pastor Kelvin Sauls at the airport in Miami on his way to Haiti. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and this is a one-hour special marking the death of Winnie Mandela. She passed away. She was 81 years old. She died at Netcare Mill Park Hospital, announced by her spokesperson. Of course, she was married to the Nobel Prize winner, anti-apartheid leader of the ANC, the late Nelson Mandela himself, an icon. And when Nelson Mandela was arrested and sent to prison, she had two young children that she basically had to raise on her own, and of course with the support of the movement. We are now going to continue our coverage. Now we're going to go to a clip from SABC News in South Africa, and it is a conversation with ANC veteran Tokyo Sexwale. And he, of course, was imprisoned on Robben Island alongside Nelson Mandela. And he also, after his release from prison, he served in the ANC. He was appointed to special projects in the government, in the anti-apartheid government, and himself a controversial figure. But he knew Winnie Mandela quite well and spent quite some time with her. So let us hear what he had to say, some of what he had to say upon her passing.
Although the family has called upon us to celebrate her life journey and achievements, nevertheless, we have lost one of our best. Winnie, or Zami, as Madiba would call her, shortcut for Nomzamo, was like a candle caught in the crosswinds. She was an indefatigable person, a fighter and a defiant resistor to the end. She even refused, when I spoke with her last week, to have a wheelchair she would not succumb. And she was defying gravity with the stick to keep on walking along the same journey that Madiba went through. So the nation has lost a heroine, one of our best amongst the women of South Africa and the world. Because when I came here, I've been called by a number of people from across the world who are trying to find out where to send sympathies. So her name resonates with freedom, with justice. It resonates with democracy and with this fearlessness to fight for the rights of others across the world. Yeah. So it's not only South Africa that has lost it.
Winnie Mandela was somebody that never ever gave up on the cause that she believed in so fearlessly, and that was the freedom for all. She, as we heard from our president, she bore the brunt of apartheid. She really did. She stayed here. She saw the ugly side of apartheid, and it was a very ugly side that she was shown. 18 months in solitary confinement. She was had her home raided, a home that you stayed in, but we'll get to that a bit later. She really was the product of a terrible history that South Africa went through, and I'm not sure that South Africans allow that history of hers to resonate through that personality that Winnie Mandela became.
No person should go through the life of Winnie, let alone a woman, a mother. She virtually became the face, the undying face of resistance during the struggle for freedom of our people. And not only did she personify the struggle for freedom and represent the name of Mandela, but she in her own right grew to be a personality who was recognized for her own contribution. So she was not a cut of Nelson Mandela chip. She molded her own character and made her own, whilst she's a Mandela, her own individual and collective a contribution to struggle for freedom. And what she went through at a personal level, like you say, I lived with her when I was only 17 in her house for 3 years. I see Winnie, Zinzi and Zenani were just this high.
Yeah.
And what I saw with my own eyes in that house, the torture, the humiliation by police who came in to break things, to take your things on the washing line because she could not do her washing during the day as she was at work. She could only do that in the evening, and that must be only after 6 when she must be at home. They would take that washing and throw it into the rubbish dump. Mm. She would go out again from the streets and take it and keep on washing it with tears in her eyes. And I saw those tears, a lot of time of joy whenever it was time to leave the house to go and see Mandela on Robben Island. But the tears of sadness whenever she returned from Robben Island. I was only 17. And I saw police slapping her. When they slap, she fights back.
Yeah.
They hit her with fists, and I tried to stand. I get kicked in the house. That's And these children were there, Zenani and Zinzi. From time to time, as they were home, away, or they would go away to school in Swaziland. So I saw what could happen. And then, of course, one night they came to pick her up for detention, but she was kicking. She was fighting back.
All righty. And there you got a little taste of what Winnie Mandela went through when her husband, her then husband, Nelson Mandela, was in prison. This is Margaret Prescott, and we are having a one-hour special remembering Winnie Mandela, who has died at the age of 81 years old. We are going to take a short station break, and when we return, Amira Woods, strategist, researcher, advocate specializing in human rights, social impact, and innovation, an expert on U.S. foreign policy, and particularly on the continent of Africa, joins us as we continue our coverage on Winnie Mandela. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Africa,
Welcome back to Sojourner Truth, and of course, today, in honor of Winnie Mandela, we are playing yet again God Bless Africa, considered by many really to be the national anthem, not only of South Africa, but of the entire continent. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. If you miss any part of this hour from 10 this morning for 90 days after that, just go to kpfk.org. Scroll down to archives. You'll be able to hear the show in its entirety, and you can subscribe for a free podcast. You could also check us out on our website at www.sotrueradio.org. And if you're still a member of Facebook, you can like and friend us on Facebook. And today, we would like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners. You can check us out on SoundCloud. Just look for Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. And today, we'd like to give a shout out to our listeners in Soweto, in South Africa. I'd now like to welcome to this discussion on Winnie Mandela, Amir Wood, strategist, researcher, advocate specializing in human rights, social impact, and innovation. She's an expert on U.S. foreign policy with a special emphasis on Africa and the developing world. She's written on a range of issues from debt, trade, and development to U.S. military policy. She is a member of the International Working Group for Africans Rising, a network of African movements working to build peace, seek justice, and manifest dignity. She's an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. Amir Woods, welcome back.
Oh, it's an honor always to be with you and Pacifica listeners. Thank you for this show, Margaret. Thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, thank you. So, Amira, you were able to listen to Pastor Kelvin Saul's the first half hour of our show, and also Tokyo Sekwale describing some of the torture that Winnie Mandela went through. And first, I want to give you the opportunity to just give us your reaction to her death and anything you might want to say about her significance to people like yourself, but also to the movement in South Africa, the anti-apartheid movement. Amira.
Well, again, this is why we're so grateful for you, for the show, for the space that Pacifica gives for a real truth to be told. So for Sojourner Truth Radio, we say viva, keep up the great work, because it is spaces like this that are telling the right story, that are holding up at this critical moment our heroine, our hero, right? Winnie Mandela not only was an icon for South Africa, not only was an icon for the African continent, but really was an icon for people of conscience all over the world fighting for justice, fighting for freedom, fighting for dignity. So I feel, quite frankly, that, you know, we have lost this powerful woman. She was bold, courageous, fearless, and stood tall for us all as a symbol, really, of what a true kind of fighter can be, a fighter for justice, a fighter for dignity, a fighter for the liberation of her people. But really, she stood as one who represented not only the anti-apartheid leaders who were struggling against the racist, brutal apartheid system. But she was standing for something. She was standing for a South Africa that would be free, a people that could reclaim their right to determine their own future. I think we've got to understand that while we've lost her now, Winnie Mandela represents someone who carried a torch from those who came before her, those powerful, brave, fearless, courageous women who fought for an end to colonialism across the continent, across the world. You know, they stood on the shoulders of women who had fought for an end to the slave trade, right? It's, you know, it's like these ancestors that really visioned and fought for and gave their lives for a better day for the future of their children and their children's children and generations to come. Nelson Mandela took the baton from them and carried it forward in such a powerful way. She inspired us all. You know, me coming from Liberia and you know, coming here to the U.S., being a part of the anti-apartheid struggle, she was our heroine. And she was, for us, a symbol of resistance from a brutal state-sponsored torture, state-sponsored violence that we see not only in South Africa but in many parts of the world. And she stood strong against the apartheid regime. She stood strong for a South Africa that would be able to kind of live the dignified life that many fought for and many envisioned centuries earlier. So I see her as a part of a continuum. I think she has inspired many today around the world, you know, including the young leaders. You know, I watched the March for Our Lives, an 11-year-old young woman stand up with such poise and dignity and demand an end to gun violence in our communities. You know, we're watching Black Lives Matter in places like Sacramento with young leaders who are demanding dignity, fighting for our rights. I believe that Winnie Mandela is just the inspiration for many of these young leaders today and will continue to be the inspiration for generations to come. You know, our Native American brothers and sisters speak of seven generations down, and I believe Winnie Mandela's impact will still be felt seven generations and seven more generations down from that. Because I think she made such incredible personal sacrifices as she fought for the rights for her people, for people across the continent, for people across the world to be free.
Yes, and Amira Woods, our guest here, Amira Woods, she expert on U.S. foreign policy with a special emphasis on Africa, and she herself and the developing world. She herself hails from Liberia. And on looking at the early life of Winnie Mandela, indeed, her name, her first name at birth was Namzamo, which means she who must endure trials. So somebody must have seen something down the road, because she certainly did indeed. And she is described, she is from, according to the New York Times, a noble family of the Xhosa-speaking Pondo tribe in Transeki. And she was a barefoot child who tended the cattle and attended a Methodist mission school. And it was clearly, she also, interestingly enough, refused to go to the United States to study for her studies. She was the first Black social worker in the hospital she worked in at Soweto, but she turned down a scholarship. She was offered a scholarship to the United States, and she said, no, I'm going to remain in South Africa. And soon after that, in 1957, is when she met Nelson Mandela. Just your comments on even what that early experience tells you about Winnie Mandela.
You know, I think it is powerful that she, you know, she started out from the Transkei, but she started out as a social worker thinking about, as many, you know, mothers and freedom fighters do, right, those basic needs of our people, and how to be able to help get those basic needs to our community. So, you know, the caring, the sense of consciousness, you know, before even she met Nelson Mandela. I mean, I think what you see is a woman who knew her mind, a woman who had a powerful intellect and was able to, you know, to kind of reach great heights, again, in and of herself, independent of her husband-to-be, right? I think so often, you know, women are defined by whom they were married to. And clearly we have an iconic Nelson Mandela, and we can't take anything away from that. But I think we have to understand that, that Winnie Mandela, in her own right, was a powerful leader, intellect, real servant leader in the struggle for freedom in South Africa. And I think we've got to kind of understand and hold up not only the fact that she comes from nobility, but also that she comes from humble means, you know, being barefoot in the Transkei, and what that means in terms of your own experiences of of want, right, and wanting to make sure then that as a social worker that she commits her life to making things better. So again, I think we can say a lot about, you know, her 38 years of marriage to Nelson Mandela, and you know, dealing with all that she did while he was in prison for 27 years, and I think that's important. But I do think it's equally important to hold up our hero, you know, in her own right, and to understand, you know, the role that she played and that she continues to play, to inspire other feminist leaders, to inspire other people of conscience all over the world.
Right. And it is reported that she said that she's not Mandela's product, that she's a product of the masses, right, and the product of her enemy, referring to, of course, the apartheid rulers. But, you know, there we can't ignore the fact that certainly she was a controversial figure. A lot is made of the death of the young man Stompie, and it was said that she was, if not involved, knew of what was going on, and she was, Bishop Desmond Tutu condemned her and that particular action, and asked that she issue an apology. She did say that mistakes were made and things got out of hand. And also she was, you know, the time that she was in Parliament, you know, she was accused of fraud, and there were all kinds of things like that that went on, you know, misusing funds and various. And it's interesting that one of the complaints that Winnie Mandela made was that during the process of reconciliation, the Truth Commission, that she was never asked about her 18 months in solitary confinement. We heard just a little description of the abuse and torture that she suffered in her own home with her children there, much less the 18 months in torture. And it's not to excuse anything or to excuse anything that might have gone awry, violence or any of the other things that people tend to associate with her now. But it's interesting that that is never made much of, the torture that she suffered in solitary confinement, as well as the other tortures that she suffered. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, for far too long, people around the world tried to strip away the dignity from Winnie Mandela. And I think you see much of it reflected even now in some of the obituaries, and it's, I think, quite sad that's, you know, and so that's why I applaud you and your show for giving space to, you know, to kind of having a fuller story told. I think it is important that Winnie Mandela actually submitted herself to a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. You know, it was the first, the South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission was really the first to kind of bring measures of accountability and restitution to victims of violence and stood as an example for many others to come that modeled themselves on the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So I think it is important to acknowledge that she did submit to a process, and was able to you know, to go through and be held accountable through that process. And I think that is significant. But I think it is important for us to remind ourselves of the horrors of the apartheid regime, and the real weapons of torture, of brutality, of inhumanity that machinery, the apartheid government and its machinery of repression unleashed against the majority of people, you know, the blacks in South Africa. So this white rule minority government essentially spared no measure to strip away the dignity and the basic human rights of a people, and regularly used torture, killings. A number of apartheid leaders were receiving package bombs, targeting themselves and their families. Many in the movement were killed because they chose to fight for freedom. And so, the circumstances through which Winnie Mandela led her people were quite difficult. And I would say, you could say some of those dark times tainted all. But throughout, I think what we have is a woman who continued to fight for freedom and for the liberation of her people, and would not stop in terms of her bold and deliberate effort to bring about a democratic and a free South Africa.
Yes, well said, Amira Woods there. You know, listening to, you're quite right about some of the press. I mean, they are, well, practically all of them, you know, they talk about Winnie Mandela, but yet they have to bring up the scandals and how she was tainted, et cetera. I talked about some of that with Pastor Kelvin Sauls, and he was quite right by saying, what human being is not flawed, right? And mm-hmm. how come her flaws are focused on? And, you know, you think of how many people were killed at the hands of the apartheid regimes. Do we know their names? Are their names being called? But yet we hear the name of this one young man who tragically died. You know what I mean? And it really felt at the time that it was useful for those who really wanted to hold up the regime, or who wanted to show that somehow black people were innately violent, or we just can't control ourselves, or whatever, that the death of this young man was really used in that way, and really to undermine the popularity of Winnie Mandela among the most impoverished in South Africa. And it's interesting how that happens. It's a kind of a flipping of the script, so to speak, so that all of the torture that she went through, nobody's talking about, right? And what happened to her, I can't imagine going through that without suffering PTSD or some such. And the fact that she basically held it together, she remained in the ANC. She was out campaigning not that long ago for people to vote in the upcoming elections. You know, tells you something about her strength, and it tells you something about her spirit, and also her appearance at the funeral of Nelson Mandela. They were carrying on as though she had no right to show up. She was married to the man for 38 years. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Mother of his children. So there just seems to be a bit of a double standard, and that's not to gloss over anything and not to act as though mistakes she herself said were made, but to really understand who she was and what she means to people in South Africa, and particularly the most impoverished people.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like, Margaret, we cannot, you know, we can't say enough, you know, our hearts go out to, you know, the families of all the martyrs who were lost on, you know, and I think, you know, honestly, we say that. At the same time, we have to understand that there was a deliberate effort by the minority rulers of apartheid government to discredit black leaders, to discredit the anti-apartheid leaders, to say that they were not fit to rule. And so there was a deliberate effort to undermine. And so I think it is important for us, again, to acknowledge those times and to understand that context and really rebut efforts to take away the incredible contributions of a leader like Winnie Mandela, and to strip her down to only one negative, right? I think it is important for the full story to be told.
The fact that she's a woman, I'm sure she suffered a great amount of sexism. And I also wondered if people were really hostile to the fact that she had the nerve to criticize some of Nelson Mandela's actions. You know what I mean? She spoke her mind about some of that, and quite a lot of people didn't like that either. So
I think we absolutely have to acknowledge she was an intelligent woman. She had a mind, and she used it. She had an ability to really rally forces and to bring. That's like the true measure of leadership, right? She was able to not only understand where people are, like her heart was with her people, and she was able to then articulate that and create a space where they had full trust and confidence in her as a leader. So, you know, I think we cannot underestimate how difficult it is for a woman to kind of be able to rise to that level of stature, and how easy it is for people to undermine her because she's able to garner such respect and such a position of honor throughout the country. And so I think, you know, it's not surprising, but I think, you know, again, we've got to, as Pastor Saul so beautifully said, you know, to tell the history as a liberated people, and to know that history will and has in fact vindicated Winnie Mandela.
Right. And I'm afraid I'm looking at the clock. I can't believe how the time has flown. We are going to have to end it there, Amira Woods. But certainly it sounds and it seems that Winnie Mandela, I mean, the slogan that when you strike a woman, you strike a rock. Right. Certainly.
Absolutely.
Winnie Mandela symbolizes that.
Absolutely. I guess I feel like I just want to close it out, because it says when you strike a woman, you strike a rock. You have unleashed a boulder, you will be crushed. I think it shows the power, the dynamism, the boldness, the courage of Winnie Mandela that has now inspired new leaders across the Pan-African world and will continue to inspire for generations to come. Thank you so much for doing this segment on her.
Well, Amira Woods, thank you for participating in our one-hour special marking the passing of Winnie Mandela. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We are out of time. I'd like to thank all of today's guests. Today's show produced by myself, Margaret Prescott. I'd like to thank the Sojourner Truth team, our intern, Sherelle Withers, our assistant producer, Stephanie Case, and Mr. T, Teddy Robinson, our engineer, and all who helped to make this show possible. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Stay tuned for Rising Up. Sojourner Truth will be back on the air on Tuesday.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is coming up on 9 o'clock, and we will be hearing the Old Mole Variety Hour after these messages, including this. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Underground Graduate School. The Portland Underground Graduate School creates racial lifelong learning opportunities that work for everyone's real lives. For more information, you can go to www.pugspdx.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship Award Ceremony on Saturday, April 28th at 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. In its 10th consecutive year, Oregon 11th and 12th grade students submitted essays, poems, and narratives on the question, "What would it take for nuclear weapons to be eliminated in your lifetime?" The ceremony is an opportunity for community members to hear the entries of the scholarship winners in an evening of poetry, reflection, and engagement on nuclear weapons elimination. Again, that's the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship Award Ceremony on Saturday, April 28th at 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1121 Southwest Main in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film The Real Dirt on Farmer John on Thursday, April 12th at 7 p.m. The Real Dirt on Farmer John is a documentary about a maverick Midwestern farmer amidst a failing economy and heralds a resurrection of farming in America. We'll be in attendance, and there will be a Q&A after the film. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.